The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Are you confident that there will be a peaceful transfer of power in January 2025?
If Trump wins, no, I'm not confident at all. I mean, if Trump loses, I'm not confident at all.
Quiet part out loud. There you go. He's the same one that before 2020, he talked about having the most extensive, you know, largest voter fraud organization in U.S. history. And now here he's asked, and you hardly see him, by the way, the fake president. He's gone into the basement. He's actually serving as president in the basement, so to speak. Kamala, she's running her campaign from the basement. We'll get to that a little bit later. But here he is saying there's going to be no peaceful transfer of power if Trump wins. And then he catches himself and says, I mean, you know, if Trump loses, because Trump's the problem, he wants for you to believe. Lots to get to on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us today. Sorry that we have no Star Wars intro. That was very well received on yesterday's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. If you go there, make sure you give us the thumbs up and leave a nice comment. If you'd like to email some feedback, you can reach us at TD@TheTrumpet.com. The latest Trumpet magazine is out, by the way. That's the one with Donald Trump. You see him there on the cover. Why God is Protecting Donald Trump or This Man. Go to thetrumpet.com and get an early start on my father's feature. It's featured at the top of the website page right now. And get God's perspective. I mean, that's a cover that you're not going to see anything else like it in the world of mass circulation magazines. Sometimes we have covers that you do see on Time Magazine or wherever else. For example, this one with Bibi, War on Netanyahu. That was, I think, the August issue. And there you see, I think it's August 26 at Time, Bibi at War. And because it's Time, of course, you can expect for it to be a bit of a hit job on Benjamin Netanyahu because the regime media hates him. But that said, I mean, the article, even the Time Magazine article does show him to be a man of courage. He's in this to destroy Lee's army, so to speak. That we've got to press on. Remember that comment my father made at the end of one of his messages back in July? We've got to press on, Lincoln told his general, Ulysses Grant. We've got to go forward. We've got to destroy the enemy. And Bibi's trying to do that. And he's going up against the international community, the international news media. It's not about, for him, it's not about territory or anything like that. He's trying to destroy Hamas. And Hezbollah may be next if they get entangled into a war with their enemies to the north as well. Of course, both of them backed by Iran. So tomorrow's news today, right? You need, if you haven't subscribed yet to the Trumpet Magazine, make sure that you call our operators and request a free, there's no cost, no obligation, a free one-year subscription, the number 1-866-930-3024. Become a Trumpet subscriber today, so that you can know tomorrow's news today. So there you saw the fake president. Is there going to be a peaceful transfer of power? Let's just take them at their word. If Donald Trump wins, no. If Donald Trump loses, no. These are the agitators. These are the communist infiltrators. These are the ones harboring hatred and rage in their hearts. That's why you have scenes like what we show or depict on the latest cover of The Trumpet. They tried to assassinate him. 2 days ago, I went through that clip of Jamie Raskin. He says, if Donald Trump does go through and win, I mean, he actually said the quiet part out loud as well. Yeah, except that he meant it. For all we know, I mean, an unfiltered Joe Biden in the mental state that he's in, that's probably what he meant, what he said first. They're assuming Trump wins, but the real goal here, as you'll see in that next issue of The Trumpet, the real aim for the dear leader, for Barack Obama, is civil war. He wants to war, and even the language of Scripture says that for Trump to recover what's rightfully his, he's going to have to war to do it. That's what he's going up against. That scene from July 13th, you know, leave aside Tim Walz and the fact that he went AWOL, by the way, the fact that he didn't serve in combat, even though he did serve in the National Guard. Leave that aside for a moment. And what you saw on July 13th was courage under fire. I mean, that is the scene from a war. They came within millimeters of assassinating their political rival. Pelosi said it this week. I mean, this is all meant, I mean, she was talking about it in general. You know, Biden moving out of the way so that they could get some. And how about that? She says he should be on Mount Rushmore 2 days ago. And now I think she's telling The Atlantic, I've never really thought much of Biden's politics. These people, they're chameleons. They will say whatever needs to be said. It's all about the image, the narrative. They're professional liars. They're out deceiving and being deceived day in and day out. But that was the scene from a war. They came within millimeters of assassinating Donald Trump. And as I told you earlier this week, this is a story they're just trying to erase. No more investigating Thomas Crooks. No more looking into, you know, the slope of the roof and the windows and where the snipers went. Just to conveniently sweep it under the rug. They're agitating for war, these people. There's the fake president saying the quiet part out loud. This is what Raskin, I played this for you on Tuesday, but this is what Raskin said back in February, clip 18.
What can be put into the Constitution can slip away from you very quickly. And the greatest example going on right now before our very eyes is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're just disappearing with a magic wand, as if it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating. And so, you know, they want to kick it to Congress. So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025 to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody and civil war conditions, all because the nine justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year, not that much work to do, a huge staff, great protection, simply do not want to do their job and interpret what the great 14th Amendment means.
It's up to us to disqualify Donald Trump. Not the voters, not the U.S. voters, these so-called champions of democracy say. We will nullify him. We will disqualify him. He's an insurrectionist. So when we do it, there's going to be civil war conditions. That's Jamie Raskin from earlier this year. Who are the real insurrectionists? It's so obvious. It's so obvious. Listen to Jesse again. He's talking about the Trump assassination attempt less than 4 weeks ago. This is Jesse Waters last night, clip 5.
And if the FBI is arresting foreign agents who want to kill a former president, shouldn't the Secret Service have had more security in Butler? But this Iranian plot to kill Trump feels like a red herring, a distraction from the real failures on July 13th. Were the feds too busy setting up a Pakistani with fake hitmen to neutralize the homegrown threat in PA? And what's going on in the Pittsburgh field office? The lead site agent hasn't been fired. We still don't have a name. No one in the media cares about the story anymore. Only a few good politicians want answers.
Stunning. It's stunning. No one in the media even cares about the story anymore. We've moved on. This week, it's the new VP pick. Tim Walz. If you think about the dear leader, that was revealed this week as well. The fact that he appointed Eric Holder to do all the vetting and so on. I mean, just think about it. They went after J.D. Vance for the cat lady remark, for a comment that he made. And here's this guy on the other side, after being vetted by Obama's people. Here's this guy that went AWOL. Worse than that. He came back. He left the troops to become a politician. I mean, it's perfect, really. It's just perfect. It's exactly what you would expect of these people. Leave the troops on the battlefield so that you can go become a politician. Okay. And then, as part of becoming a politician, brag about all your service in combat. I mean, that's on a scandalous level that makes Cat Lady look as foolish as it is, even when we brought it up last week. Cat Lady, really? And yet, here's the regime media. They don't really care. You press them on it, and we'll show you the montage here in a second, and they just say, well, J.D. Vance didn't serve in combat either. So they lie about Vance. We've always said, whatever they accuse you of is exactly what they're guilty of. Tim Walz is a fraud. He encourages rioters. He encourages transgender surgery without parental consent. He is all for the bizarre and the perverse in so many ways. As I say, he's a perfect fit. But when you think of the dear leader's hand in all of this, I mean, the dear leader selected the puppet back in 2019, Joe Biden. He had all the other ones step aside. He made sure Bernie wasn't going to give him a run for his money. He installed the fake president. He knew he was in mental decline, but that was perfect for what he needed. And then he also installed Kamala back then, the empty suit. She, no experience. Well, we've talked before about how she climbed the ladder. We'll leave that out. It's a family show, after all. But here, the dear leader installs her. And now, I mean, you look at it on its face and think, how did this make any sense? As I covered earlier this week, I mean, it's politically speaking, it seems like Josh Shapiro makes a better, you know, makes more sense. But really, as one of our news gatherers was saying this morning, I mean, if you look at it in the context of the war, you saw the scene from a war on July 13th. When you see it within that context, it makes perfect sense. Because these people are pro-Antifa, rioters, crime, open borders. They're not trying to conceal their true intentions anymore. That's why they're saying more of the silent parts out loud. Raskin did it in February. The fake president accidentally did it yesterday. They want war. They want civil war. And as it happens, Tim Walz is he's the perfect man for the job. So maybe that's why Obama had to have known all the background, the fact that he's giving licenses to illegals, the fact that he stood by 3-4 days and let Minneapolis go up in flames, the fact that he created this history with serving in combat out of thin air. Obama knew all this. So why did he put him in place? Well, maybe this time around it wasn't so much, you know, put someone in there that will continue on with the lies and the flatteries. But look, we're in the midst of war right now. Trump has to be eliminated. They just tried to assassinate him. In that way, it makes pretty good sense, doesn't it? I mentioned this quote from the latest issue of The Trumpet. Again, this is September. It's posted now at our website, thetrumpet.com. My father quoting from Barack Obama's statement after Joe Biden had that disaster of a debate. And Obama came along and said, you know, we all have bad debates and so on. And my father talked about just how dishonest that statement was, just how disingenuous it was. He says here, Obama's message suggested that the November election is the big thing, but I don't believe That is the big thing in his mind at all. I believe he has a civil war or a race war in mind, possibly aimed around the inauguration of Donald Trump. That's exactly what Raskin was saying. His big goal has always been to blot out the name of Israel. That's been the goal from the beginning. To blot out the name of Israel. It says that means America especially, but also Britain and the Jewish state in the Middle East. So you've got Time magazine talking about the war on Bibi. And again, if you see the spirit behind it, Satan's trying to blot out little Judah. And he's trying to blot out Britain as well. Look at what, I mean, they're unleashing the social media police on their own citizens. Even as they're greeting Muslim communities in the, speaking in Arabic for their Muslim people, greeting them in Arabic. I've had some of these clips for a while now, but haven't had time to get to them. But now, today's a good time because the clips just keep coming in and you look at what's happening in the UK and you think, it doesn't even make sense unless you understand that the goal here, Satan's goal, is to blot out Britain, even the name, as it says there in 2 Kings 14. Play what Joe Scarborough, this is from a few days ago, but basically I covered earlier this week, never let a crisis, we had Richard Palmer on the show Monday, never let a crisis go to waste. And Mr. Palmer was talking about how so much of the coverage of the, you know, the protesting over in the UK is overblown. And meanwhile, they don't talk about anything on the other side, the Muslim side, I mean. The machete-wielding Muslims that are traversing the streets of Birmingham, that are making reporters run for safety. What's going on in Britain? You think they're going to go after the Muslim community? Not a chance. Not a chance. That's why they covered up all those rapes. Thousands of them over the course of years. It just went on, but they can't come across as Islamophobic. So just let crime continue. It's the same with here in the United States. Let the criminals just keep flooding across the border, bringing their weapons, their drugs, their sex slaves, all of that. Just invite it right into the country. I mean, the incident triggering it for the most part, this Ethiopian boy, okay, he was born in the UK, but how did he become radicalized? A 17-year-old walking right into this dance studio and killing, stabbing to death three little girls. How did he become radicalized? What religion was he? What motivated it? It's just like crooks, right? You don't get into that background. You talk like Pelosi did earlier this week. We don't know anything about the motivation. Now, with my husband, of course, the motivation was political. They create these crimes out of thin air, supposedly coming from the other side, even as they continue to turn a blind eye to actual crimes. Listen to Joe Scarborough saying how that, hey, what's happening in the UK? It's a great opportunity for this new radical left-wing government to crack down on racism. You guessed it. Not racism coming from Muslims. No, just ordinary Brits that might, you know, type something on Facebook. Put them in jail. This is clip 7.
Keir Starmer's premiership has started off with quite a challenge. We're not getting, there's not a lot of reporting in the United States about this, but a lot of white nationalists, a lot of neo-Nazis have been going around doing absolutely horrific things to Muslims, to people of color generally.
But it hasn't stopped these far-right nationalists coming out onto the streets and attacking people who they think shouldn't be in the United Kingdom, whether they're there because they're brown or whether they're there because they're Muslims. The What the prime minister's challenge is would be what they would like to do, the government, my understanding is have a whole load of arrests very fast.
Anarchy in the UK, we remember those images from the 1970s. I will say this is a great opportunity for the new prime minister to show strength and act aggressively, clean up the streets, get these racists off the streets, arrest them, and make sure that they face justice.
There you go. The Ethiopian kills the girls, no problem. They rape girls by the hundreds, no problem. We'll cover that up. But the white nationalists, if they take to the streets in protest of Britain's nation-destroying policies regarding immigration, just like America, Satan's goal is to blot it out. It's happening. It's happening. And people in Britain are finally, they've finally had enough. But see, those, if they go to the streets and protest, it's dangerous. If you go to the streets and protest in favor of Hamas and against Bibi, you can fill up central London with hundreds of thousands. And it's no problem. This is from the Free Press. It says, of all the heartbreaking moments from this past week, from the murder of three girls, not much younger than my own daughter, to the violence and fear on our streets, there's one thought that I keep returning to: how avoidable it all might have been. How could we have avoided this kind of division, this kind of violence? It says the warning signs have been present for years, but for every person who tried to tiptoe through the minefield of topics pertinent to this disorder, society, culture, religion, disenfranchisement, racism, the speed of change, feelings of powerlessness, there were 10 more who wanted to bury their heads in the sand. See, that's what Israelites have been doing for so long. We see these problems, and we just, we turn to the gadgets, entertainment, sports, to escape. To escape reality, the quotes Jeremiah here, the prophet, as it says in Jeremiah, O foolish people and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. They're blind. It says here, others such as Douglas Murray, the author, have been brave enough to warn that if the proper authorities do not grasp the nettle on issues of social cohesion and uniform upholding of the rule of law, then mobs will. He did not say this with glee, but in deep lamentation. If you don't uphold the rule of law equally, then you're going to be left with mob rule. Look at this scene from Sky News. This was someone reporting in the field, and watch what happens behind her, clip 8.
Community leaders have been speaking to the police as well, because
free Palestine, easy on me.
I think, apologies for the language you're hearing, but a sense of the anger, I think you can hear there.
Yeah, Katie, I think we, Becky, I apologize. We need to leave you there, and
we need to leave you there and cut away, because, they're the Muslim protesters. Free Palestine. These are people Britain has invited in, and they're not patriots, so many of them. Just like with the United States, you can't obviously say every single one of them is illegitimate. If they come in through appropriate channels and according to immigration laws, okay. But in Britain's case, even some that get in lawfully, they bring their home nation and their home religion with them. And they'll demonstrate in favor of Hamas. Is that the way to really strengthen the health and the vitality of the nation? To have a nation so divided? National Pulse says here, mobs of armed Muslims, many waving Palestinian flags. Why would they be waving Palestinian flags in Britain? Is this okay? I guess it is. Wave the flags of Hamas. They took over swaths of Birmingham, England's second city, on Monday and pursued journalists from the areas under their control for miles, Fraser Knight, a reporter for LBC, described how he was chased out of an area of East Birmingham by groups of Asian men who had, they're Asian men, he reported, who had come out to protect their community against a planned far-right demonstration. So they don't like it when ordinary British citizens come out and protest against some of the violence that their community perpetuates. They don't like it. So they've got to come out themselves and defend their territory. It's war, you see. It's war. We're seeing so much of it here in the United States. It says here, the security guard with me decided immediately it wasn't safe for us. It was clear we weren't welcome, but there wasn't a safe place for us to go for miles, he continued, noting how cars followed them and that at one point a group of around six men ran after us down a road with what looked like a weapon. We were forced to run, it says. This is at National Pulse. That's where you have to go. You got to go to Raheem Kassam to get some actual reporting. Some fair and balanced reporting. You listen to Joe Scarborough, and all that you think there are on the streets are white nationalists. They don't even look into the story about the Ethiopian. His family's from Ethiopia. What could have motivated him to go in and murder three little girls at a dance studio? What was the motivating factor there? That just gets brushed aside, and people in Britain are angry. They're angry. It's something that could have been solved decades ago with some courageous leadership, some bold leadership. But now the problems have persisted for so long. And now people of Britain are waking up and seeing this is a disaster. This is a war zone. Listen, just skip ahead to those two from the police. I'll get to that in just a second. But look at how how hard the UK police are going after their own citizens. Even if you post something that they deem to be, you know, racist or inciting violence. This is clip 19.
So we'll throw the full force of the law at offenders, whether that's charging people with assaults, violent disorder, riot, and if terrorism offences are appropriate, I know the Director of Public Prosecutions has said he's prepared to consider that. We will throw the full force of the law at people. And whether you're in this country committing crimes on the streets or committing crimes from further afield online, we will come after you.
Talk to me about that, because we have seen some high-profile figures whipping up the hatred. You talked about it in there with the officers, in fact, about this being added to by online commentary. I mean, I'm even thinking of the likes of Elon Musk getting involved. What are you considering when it comes to dealing with people who are whipping up this kind of behaviour from behind a keyboard, maybe in a different country?
Being a keyboard warrior does not make you safe from the law. You can be guilty of offences of incitement, of stirring up racial hatred. There are numerous terrorist offences regarding the sort of publishing of material. All of those offences are in play if people are provoking hatred and violence on the streets. And we will come after those individuals just as we will physically confront on the streets the thugs and the yobs who are causing the problems for communities.
Even if you're living abroad, they'll come after you somehow. makes you appreciate the First Amendment here in the States. But they're backing this up. They're backing this up. Look at this arrest that happened earlier this week. This is someone who posted a message on Facebook. You can't see him in the footage, but you can hear him as he talks to these two police officers. This is clip 10.
So I'm actually being arrested.
You're going to be arrested, okay?
Right.
And back to the police station.
Right.
Okay, this is in relation to some comments that you've made on a Facebook page.
Okay. Oh, really? Oh, it's a Facebook crime, is it?
Okay.
Right.
So
you said I was going to be arrested under some what? Information? I'm going to be arrested for posting on Facebook?
Some comments that are offensive, obscene, and people have made a complaint about that, and it's transferred.
And can you tell me what this comment was?
Okay, we'll do that when we interview.
All right. And so what am I going to be locked up for the night? Or
hopefully not.
Right, do I need to take my medications with me?
People made a complaint. It reminds you of the COVID police, doesn't it? You know, Tim Walz, he set up a hotline so that you could snitch on someone that wasn't wearing a mask. Someone made a complaint about a Facebook post, of all things. And then the police show up at this man's door. He's like, can I get my medication before you take me in to arrest me? So the guy's probably in his mid to late 60s. He's on medication. And this is the one that they see as a threat. This is the one they've really got to crack down on. Meanwhile, you've got these machete-wielding thugs from Asia. They're roaming the streets. They're not going to crack down on them unless they maybe carry out an actual crime with those weapons. But they can threaten people with their presence all that they want. These, as I say, these are nation-destroying injuries, wounds. Look at Sky News or notice what they had to say about the social media police, basically, in Britain. This is clip 20.
Some people might be sharing simply to warn their friends, but it could be considered an offence because they're amplifying this.
Absolutely. And that's the key message, is that however you think you're acting innocently on social media, whatever platform it is, you're just sharing something for whatever reason, that could potentially be a criminal offence. And look, it's not an idle threat either, because the Crown Prosecution Service were keen to point out that they've made a number of charges in relation to stirring up of racial hatred online, one of which this morning was for distributing a recording that could, in intending to stir up racial hatred. And so they are actually already bringing charges in relation to this sort of thing. So it's a very, very clear message based in the harsh reality, if you like, that if you do this kind of thing, you are potentially committing a criminal offence. There he said it. They've got teams of people scouring the internet looking for this sort of thing. And if you are in the business of sharing or retweeting whatever platform it might be, potentially criminal material, well, then you could find yourself prosecuted.
They're scouring the internet. Here again. Just like during the COVID scaremongering, the scamdemic. And then again, here in the States, you saw it with January 6th. I mean, just scouring the internet, looking for anybody that would indicate someone even came close to one of those doors at the Capitol. I mean, when these radical left-wing Marxists are in power, they're not exactly there to promote free speech. Not when it comes from their opponents. We know all about what they do to their opponents. We've seen a lot of it just in the last few weeks. It's war, isn't it? What an opportunity. Scarborough sees it. Starmer's got a perfect opportunity here to crack down on the nationalists, to crack down on the whites. Listen to this. It's another segment from Sky News. I think it's one where the police chief is talking about the task force that they have busily going through the internet. This is clip 21.
The offence of incitement to racial hatred involves publishing or distributing material which is insulting or abusive, which is intended to or likely to start racial hatred. So if you retweet that, then you're republishing that, and then potentially you're committing that offence. And we do have dedicated police officers who are scouring social media. Their job is to look for this material and then follow up with identification arrests and so forth. So it's a really, really serious. People might think they're not doing anything harmful. They are, and the consequences will be visited upon them.
One would think, I mean, in saner times, you would have teams of people scouring through information about this Ethiopian boy's family, his religion, his motivation, what could have caused this, who he was associating with, if there was a preacher, an imam maybe, that motivated him to do what he did. No, they've got to scour social media to look for the white nationalists. This is right across the pond. We see the same spirit here in the United States as well. Now just contrast all of those reports we just played for you with this one. This is the Manchester police superintendent. Okay, he's He's sitting down. He's sitting down with all of these representatives from the Muslim community. And listen to how he talks to them and how he addresses them up front. Clip 9.
Hello, assalamu alaikum. My name is Phil Hutchinson, and I am the superintendent for Greater Manchester Police based in Oldham. Obviously, echo everything that the leader, Rouge, has said. Firstly, thank you very much for inviting us and arranging the meeting. It's the inaugural meeting. We're having these now bi-monthly, so in respect to what Rouge has mentioned about some increased tension, obviously there are a number of issues going on nationally and within Greater Manchester. We're engaging with all communities.
It looks like it's a hostage crisis. The guy's standing behind him. He greets them with the Islamic greeting, says we're trying to get all the communities together and well represented. Even the tone, I mean, the way that these law enforcement officials speak to the Muslim community. And then when you compare it, when they're on Sky News talking about these teams of people just scouring social media, we'll come after you. We'll come after you if you're not even living in the UK. Listen to one more again. This is another police chief in the UK opening the press conference with an Islamic greeting. Clip 6.
Salam alaikum. Good morning, everyone, and thank you to the leaders and elders that have afforded me this opportunity to speak to you personally. The reason I'm speaking is to underline my commitment on behalf of the organisation to protect all the communities across the West Midlands.
Salam alaikum or whatever? I mean, seriously? This is in Britain. This is not satire. This is not the Babylon Bee. This is for real. A young man at that, came, his parents immigrated in, who he has, who knows what kind of religious background, kills three girls, and the law enforcement response is that, well, we've got to do everything that we can to try to reach out to his community, that man's community. This is a wound, really, that it's not curable. They're not going to be, and we've let so many in, and I understand Trump is promising to deport them, so many of them. But the sickness here, and we've been making this point quite a lot over the last couple weeks, but the sickness runs so deep. It's from head to toe. Isaiah 1 brings this out. It's not something that's going to be fixed with one political party or one president or one individual. Sin, this is what God wants to... He wants for us to focus on what our sins are doing to ourselves. Die by suicide. If you think about the leadership that the dear leader wants to put in place here in the United States, I mean, the one thing about the radical left side is that they're accelerating the destruction because it's all part of the fundamental transformation. But a lot of this, I mean, this transformation, whether it's the UK or the United States, I mean, it's been going on for decades. The dear leader here in the States, I mean, he came along in 2008 and said, hey, we're going to fundamentally transform everything. And that's what's been going on since 2008. It's intensified all the more since. Just coming back to Tim Walz and the dear leader and half fake. So many of these narratives are. He says here, this is Sundance at Conservative Treehouse. Kamala Harris hired Eric Holder to do the background vetting on Minnesota Governor Tim Walz prior to the announcement of Walz being VP candidate. Keep in mind, it says, Barack Obama and Eric Holder do not have any issues with Tim Walz as the VP candidate. Factually, Walz is a very unstable person, prone to an intemperate disposition, has no problem targeting children for his fetish ideology under the guise of gender reassignment, cutting off genitals of children, and he's a proud Marxist. And the point Sundance is making is that Obama doesn't have a problem with any of this. He doesn't see it as we didn't thoroughly vet him. I guess he kind of sneaked his way in. And now, you know, we're kind of in a bind. It says, against the backdrop of who he is, the difference between who he presents himself to be is the real issue. The embellishment on his military record is just one facet of the mask he wears. It says, remember, the professional left, for the professional left, especially Obama and Eric Holder, fabrication and lies are viewed as positive traits. It says, through the prism of controlling behavior, controlling what people do, and ultimately leveraging or threatening a person to ensure adherence to an objective, the lies are part of how professional leftists control people. This is all very dark and twisted stuff. He's spot on. I mean, it's right out of Daniel 8 and Daniel 11. Come in through lies, flatteries, deceit. Just lie your way into office. The dear leader looks at Tim Walz and says, he's perfect. He fits the bill perfectly. Somebody I can control and a professional liar. He's padded his resume and all those things. Yeah, it's perfect. He's an authoritarian. Look at how he ran Minnesota into the ground during COVID. Look at what he did when he just let Minneapolis burn. The perfect man for the job. It says here, during any vetting process, Eric Holder and Barack Obama would view any stolen valor type issue as a net positive. It says, this is an election that needs bold contrasts. Tim Walz supports the mutilation of children, not granular arguments about military records. Square up and punch evil square in the nose. Don't dance around the ring. This is Sundance giving a little bit of friendly advice to the Trump people. You've got to go after the evil, pure evil. Okay, he lies. They all do. They do it so casually, so easily. He says there's a reason why this team needs to rely on musicians and pop culture figures to draw a crowd. Call out the truth. Use truth as a weapon. Well, that's what Jesus told us to do in John 8. You shall know the truth, and the truth is what sets you free. The truth is the way to freedom. Call it out. Use truth as a weapon. This is Sundance using military language, acknowledging that it's war. Jeroboam has to war to recover what's rightfully his. It says, finally, Democrats have to use college campuses and use musical events for their rally venues. Without manipulation of the audience and optics, they have nothing. They have nothing except lies. Even these pictures of the crowds. How many of them are being bussed in? I saw a tweet where there were angry Kamala supporters that were waiting for the buses after the event. How many are bussed in? How many are paid actors? How many would show up if they didn't have the superstar singing at the headline of the event or at the top of the event? All the celebrities, the musicians, they're good at establishing fake narratives, aren't they? Play this from, again, this is Jesse Waters talking about Kamala running her campaign from the basement, basically. It's all fakery and phone. It's all just moving mirrors around, basically. Play clip 4.
It's not even a real campaign. It's like they're pretending to campaign. What kind of Democrats are afraid of the media? When you're a Democrat and you're in trouble, you run to the media so they can save you. Things have to be so bad that they know the media won't save them. It'll only make it worse. Kamala is running a basement campaign without the COVID excuse or the age. And since she's too scared of interviews, she's paying people to say nice things about her. Watch.
Last month, Sané says she was hired by Protect Our Care, a progressive advocacy group that relies on anonymous donors. She made a video warning about Trump's second term agenda.
They almost help you script it, right?
Right, like, definitely.
She takes their talking points and puts them into her own voice, saying she always discloses when she's being paid.
Yes. What's your rate?
So a video just for a creator in my size, an average can go from $3,000 to $10,000, depending, and upwards.
$10,000 to read Democrat talking points. It's what CNN calls journalism.
influencers. Pay them off. Pay them off, offer them money. Kamala's been doing that. And then, you know, run from any moment that looks like it's going to be unscripted. She got off her plane yesterday, said hi to the Girl Scouts, and then got into the car as soon as possible because J.D. Vance's plane had landed there. And Vance came over and said to the reporters, thought I'd come over here in case you're bored, because it's been 17 days since she announced that she's running. And she hasn't had a press conference. She hasn't taken any questions. And like Jesse brings out, usually these people would run to the regime media because they know they're the propaganda arm for the Joe Obama people. But in Kamala's case, she's afraid of the regime media. She's afraid to greet J.D. Vance. It's all about their precious narrative. I was talking to my wife after, I think it was Tuesday's show the other day, just about how the narrative means so much to them. And they stay with it. You'd like to see some conservatives actually stay with July 13th for a little bit longer than 2 weeks. They tried to assassinate Donald Trump. Look at how Nancy Pelosi, I played the clip for you the other day, look at how she still hangs on to her precious January 6th narrative. They were running through the halls saying, "Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy?" Donald Trump got shot in the face. And we know nothing about the shooter. How about investigating the crime? Or in the case of the UK, the 17-year-old stabbed the 17-year-old Ethiopian, stabbed three little girls to death. No wonder a lot of people are upset in Britain. And then leave it to the regime media over there to make it seem like it's tens of millions taking to the streets in protest and there's violence and burning all over the place. No, no, as Mr. Palmer said on Monday's show, there's some small protests here and there, but for the most part, you had the Holiday Inn bashing in the window there. Well, in that case, it turned a little bit violent. But outside of that, it's been overblown. Why would they go on and on about, we're going to crack down on social media, people posting comments that could incite violence, and then sit down with the Muslim community and greet them with an Islamic greeting? As I say, even the tone tells you everything that you need to know. Where would these people be without their fake narratives? And keep in mind, too, the January 6th fake narrative. I mean, that's joined at the hip with the election steal. And you can't even question that. You can't even draw attention to that. They want to put you in jail for that. They want to put you in jail if you protest in support of Trump or walk through the Capitol when the doors were flung open. This narrative about he served in combat. He's out there on the campaign trail, even to this day, Tim Walz, talking about the weapons that he used while he was in the middle of a combat zone. Never happened. Listen to clip two.
When Tim Walz was asked by his country to go to Iraq, you know what he did? He dropped out of the army and allowed his unit to go without him, a fact that he's been criticized for aggressively by a lot of the people that he served with. I think it's shameful to prepare your unit to go to Iraq, to make a promise that you're going to follow through, and then to drop out right before you actually have to go.
J.D. Vance has criticized him as never having been in combat.
And has he?
And
has he?
Well,
has J.D. Vance been in combat?
Well, he was over in Iraq, I think.
Well, here is Tim Walz, who enlisted when he was 17 years old. He served in the National Guard for 24 years. And I'm not aware of any military service that J.D. Vance has ever served. So let's just make the comparison there. And what happened in the tragedy of the killing of George Floyd and then the unrest. Yeah, okay. Pardon me for that.
I get the sense that the Harris campaign is ready for these attacks, but I have to tell you, Kristen, they're not engaging directly on whether or not he was falsifying his record, his military record. They and joined at 17, has trained people who did go into combat zones, is what one source told me.
Served in the Army National Guard for 24 years and has never claimed to have seen active combat, despite those comments that he carried a gun in war.
And we can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war is the only place where those weapons are at.
I think they should clean up. It's conceivable that he's been loose with his language or said stuff that doesn't, that's not, I mean, there's.
Francis is pointing out two things. Number one, that, that Walls basically left his unit, which no one really disputes, in 2005, before that unit was set to be deployed to Iraq. Walls was planning to run for Congress.
Second part of it, though, is this notion about, the claim about being in actual combat. That's different. Walls did make a comment speaking to a group. He's done it a couple of times where he has used language that has suggested that he carried weapons in a fighting situation. As you know, with your contact with the military, I know from coming from a military family, there is a difference between being in a combat area, being involved at a time of war, and actually being in a position where people are shooting at you. There is no evidence that at any time Governor Walz was in a position of being shot at, and some of his language could easily be seen to suggest that he was. So that is absolutely false.
I mean, you know it's bad if CNN's calling you out. If CNN's fact-checking you, this is just the news. The Minnesota National Guard confirmed Wednesday that Governor Tim Walz, Kamala Harris's vice presidential running mate, was demoted and did not retire as a command sergeant major like he has claimed for years. But don't forget, now J.D. Vance said cat lady. He's claimed this for years, and Obama and Holder said, it's the perfect man for the job. He's pretty good at lying. It's not like he even went through the proper paperwork to say, hey, I'm moving on, I want to run for office. He just left. He left his troops, as J.D. Vance correctly noted. I like how Nancy Pelosi and the other lady, by the way, as soon as it's brought up, they say, no, it was J.D. Vance that didn't serve his country. Well, he was in the Marines and went to Iraq, okay? Here again, when these people are being corrected in real time by their own regime media, it shows just how casual they are about lying. Lying on the fly, even. No, it's J.D. Vance that didn't serve his country. Oh, okay. That's Nancy Pelosi. She's probably got dozens of people on her staff. She's serving in Congress. She's a leader for the United States. Supposed to be. You understand what I mean? She doesn't know? Evidently not. She thinks that Tim Walz served his country in a combat zone and that J.D. Vance didn't. She said it. She said it right there on live TV. It says, while Walz temporarily held the title of command sergeant major, he retired as a master sergeant in 2005 for benefit purposes because he did not complete additional coursework at the U.S. Army Sergeant's Major Academy. It says, the Minnesota National Guard State Public Affairs officer told Just the News. So he's been going around saying he was what? An Army Sergeant's Major, something like that. And has been padding his resume. And he's still doing it. Listen to Jesse Waters. Again, this is from last night, clip 3.
Walz ditched his unit, got demoted, lied about his rank, and lied about fighting overseas. And Kamala Harris chose him to be a heartbeat away from commander-in-chief. This is devastating to the Democrat ticket. Republicans and Democrats, every American, physically revolted by men who lie about their service. Did Kamala vet the so-called vet? It's the only decision she's ever made in the last 4 years, and she chose a Chinese honeymooning, army unit abandoning, child castrating to fund the police progressive with the nickname Tampon Tim. Maybe they did vet him, and they're so detached from mainstream America they didn't think this would matter. Or maybe they just thought the media would cover it up. Or maybe Eric Holder's trying to sabotage the ticket. Obama's wingman was in charge of vetting this guy.
Or maybe he's the perfect guy for the coming race war. Perfect. Obama and Holder, they're the ones who vetted Tim Walz. That's all we have time for on today's show, unfortunately. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.